Edoroth, written by Yersina, narrated by Rhea 314. Four Anapods in the summer 2025 Podfix Swap. Fandom, S classes that I raised. Rating, teen and up audiences, no archive warning supply. Eugene sits in his hospital bed and thinks about his options for a long, long time. See, this wouldn't normally be an issue. Eugene is very careful about budgeting his money. He makes sure to look up any existing information on the dungeons he's planning on going into. He estimates how much he needs for the week, or month, or however long he'll need to last until his next dungeon. He makes concessions for any armor or weapons that he'll need to buy. He adds in whatever recovery items he'll need afterwards, and he ensures that he meets that threshold while he's in the dungeon. And yet, here he is sitting on a hospital bed for the second time in as many months, almost too woozy from pain to properly sort through what his choices are now. After all, no one pays a hunter that goes down at the beginning of a dungeon. Han Yujin Nim, a nurse greets, rapping politely on the door. After checking his IV and vitals, she nods to herself. Your recovery is going as expected, she says with a smile. Eugene can't bring himself to return it. We usually try to operate as soon as possible, but it says on your records that you're a hunter. Yes. We generally encourage hunters to purchase healing potions. They heal much more completely than conventional medicine now. Eugene grits his teeth. He knows. That's not an option for me right now, he admits reluctantly. He bought a new weapon for this dungeon. He's out of extra funds for at least a month or two. There's a downwards twist to her lips as she continues looking down at his file, one that tells Eugene that she understands the situation that he's in right now. Surgery is the only other option, then. It's the answer that he expected, the conclusion that he'd come to a few moments before she'd walked into the room, but it's still not what he wants to hear. Fine, he says, staring up at the ceiling. Surgery will be cheaper than a healing potion, even if the recovery period afterwards is much longer. He doesn't have the money to support himself while he's recovering. He'll probably barely have enough to cover the surgery itself. Fuck. The nurse nods once, perfunctorily. We'll schedule you for the surgery right away, then. Have you already been briefed on all the operations that we'll need to do? Yes. And hadn't that been a fun packet to read through? A comminuted break in his lower leg and a broken kneecap. Recovery might take anywhere from a few months to a year. Just his luck. If you need anything, you can always hit the call button. She points to the remote on the bed next to his arm. Thank you, he says, mostly too tired to be any ruder, and watches her shadow leave the room. After another moment, he slowly reaches up and balls his fists into his eyes, needing the pressure to keep him grounded. Fuck. Fuck. Someone had left his cell phone on the bedside table, and he can feel its presence even mocking him with his eyes closed and hunched over on the hospital bed. He knows it's there, and he knows what he has to do. Under normal circumstances, he wouldn't even entertain it as a possibility, but he's genuinely not sure what he's going to do once he's out of the hospital. Oh God, what is he going to do? After his breathing calms to a more reasonable tempo, he leaves one hand knuckling his eye ridge and uses the other to fumble for his phone. His thumb passes over a contact he hasn't used in a long, long time. He taps the contact. The line rings for much longer than he expects it to. Not that that's surprising anymore. The line connects. Hyung, I told you to stop contacting me. Ah, the voice that he so missed hearing. Yuyun, he says. He wonders what he must sound like to Yuyun. He wonders if Yuyun can hear the nuance in it anymore. I need your help. The pause that comes is painfully long. Eugene works on unraveling the hem of his hospital-issued blanket.
What happened?
Eugene takes a deep breath. I was in a dungeon.
Didn't I tell you to stop going into dungeons?
Yuyan interrupts sharply. Eugene stares at the opposite wall. If Yuyan just listened... Regardless of whether you did, it's not any of your business anymore.
Doesn't it become my business when you call to ask me for help?
This was a mistake.
Never mind,
Eugene bites out, resigning himself to finding some other avenue of procuring money. He can try taking out a loan at the bank. If nothing else, he's sure that there are people out there willing to lend to someone dripping with the sheer amount of desperation that Eugene is. He hangs up without waiting for any other acknowledgement from Yuyan, and ignores the one attempt at a callback afterwards. Seok Sim-yong unfortunately finds him a few hours after his operation.
Han Yujin Si,
he says, like the name leaves a bad taste in his mouth. Eugene huffs as much of a laugh as he's able to. The painkillers make him feel much better, but he's also so tired.
Seok Sim-yong Si,
he greets. It's perhaps the most polite he's ever been to the man, and it shows in Seok Sim-yong's expression.
Why are you here?
The guild leader told me that you called him recently, he says, still lingering unpleasantly at the entrance of Eugene's room. Eugene hopes that he gets chastised by a nurse for doing so. I came to find out what you wanted. And to make sure you don't bother him again, goes unsaid. Eugene wheezes out another laugh and turns his head towards the window. Maybe if Seok Sim-yong had shown up a day or even a few hours ago... Well, there's no use in dwelling on what-ifs. My surgery went smoothly, he says, raising an arm as if to say, you see? If Yuyani wants to give me a few hundred for the next few months so I can eat, that would be good. He's not even being sarcastic. Maybe even throw in another 100 for delivery fees. Seok Sim-yong presses his lips together like he's trying to hide a frown. Eugene wants to tell him that he ought to work on hiding his annoyance better, but that's not really his problem, is it? I'll let him know, he says stiffly. And then, just like that, he leaves. Eugene gives a mental shrug. Well, if he got what he came here for. Sometime during his physical therapy in the weeks afterwards, Eugene decides to wander over to the financial administration department of the hospital and finds out that his bill has been transferred to a different party and that any of his out-of-pocket costs will be covered. Eugene looks down at the paperwork and can't suppress a laugh. So, good enough to pay for his hospital costs, but not good enough to come and help his Hyung with recovery, huh? Recovery takes forever. Eugene hates every single second of it. Each moment that he spends languishing in boredom and pain is another moment he feels himself getting weaker, and another notch on his anxiety towards going back to dungeoning. He has enough for now to keep himself afloat in relative comfort, but sooner or later he'll have to return to being a working hunter, and there's nothing that he dreads more. Some days, he almost wishes that the pain never stops.
Hey, Eugene Si, Kim Min-chul booms,
clapping a heavy hand onto Eugene's shoulder enthusiastically. Eugene hisses a curse when his knee buckles under the weight, enough that he stumbles over the even ground outside the dungeon gate.
Whoa there, still getting your feet back under you.
Eugene gives him a weak smile. There's no furtive way to rub his knee to ease the ache, so he just leaves it, even though the pain is almost driving him to distraction. His doctor technically hasn't cleared him for heavy physical activity yet, which, on a scale of fitness, probably lies somewhere below dungeoning. But Eugene can't wait any longer.
Not enough to keep me away.
Kim Min-chul beams.
That's the spirit.
He gives Eugene another painful slap on the back and wanders off to talk to the other party members. Kim Min-chul is one of the good ones, Eugene thinks, wobbling over to the nearest chair height surface and sitting down. It's why Eugene chose him as the leader of his first foray back into a dungeon.
Eugene needs someone who won't mind picking up his slack, or, even if he did mind, would be polite enough not to point it out. The dungeon goes fine. Painfully. Eugene is usually flexible enough to switch between the watch group, which checks for any stragglers that the initial dungeon clearing team might have missed, and the mining group, which collects any items that might be available. But this time he's firmly assigned to the mining team. Even that's harder than it should be. And Eugene begins lagging behind after an hour of work. 3 hours in, and he feels a hand on his shoulder.
"Hey, Eugene Xu," Kim Minchul says with a frown. "I think you should stop."
Eugene is drenched in sweat and is wishing desperately for some painkillers, but he can't stop here.
"I can keep going. We still have half the job left."
No matter how slow he's going, it still has to be better than being down a person.
"We do, but I'm worried about your health."
Kim Minchul looks him up and down critically before nodding decisively.
"I'm sending you home."
He must spot the look on Eugene's face because he adds,
"I'll make sure to send you your share, okay? Just go home and rest."
So, Eugene goes. A week later, he gets a check in the mail. It's definitely less than he should have gotten for completing a job of that size, but it's more than a fair amount for the amount of work that he did. Fair, but still not enough. Eugene manages to stick it out for another month before he's back into the dungeoning, this time with someone who's less likely to step in out of compassion. Eugene's leg heals eventually. Eugene's knee does not. Post-traumatic arthritis. His doctor explains, after Eugene finally gives in and schedules an appointment. It's not uncommon after knee injuries. It seems like you have a relatively mild case, thankfully. Try to keep your movement to a comfortable level and come in again if the pain gets worse. And Eugene tries, he really does. The idea of chronic pain for the rest of his life terrifies him whenever he stops to think about the possibility, and he wants to avoid it if at all possible. He starts to learn his tells, the way his knee is sometimes stiffer than usual in the morning, or is more prone to buckling under his weight, or pops uncomfortably if he sits or walks for too long. It's a slow, uncomfortable process, relearning his body like this, but he doesn't have any other option than to live with it, so he does. It gentles eventually, or maybe it becomes so familiar that it fades to the back of his mind. He learns to budget around his lower income, preferring to err on the side of whole and healthy than richer but debilitated. It sits between his shoulder blades like an itch, the idea that he's not doing enough. But he grows used to the habit of letting his body decide what's enough instead of his mind, and he tentatively decides that he's healthier for it. And then Yuyan fucking goes and dies for him. What the fuck? The fact that he literally went back in time doesn't really sink in until Eugene's second day back in the past, when he wakes up and shuffles to the bathroom and doesn't get an ache in his knee from standing in the shower. Even then, he brushes it off as the start of a good day, until it's nearing bedtime and he realizes that his knee hasn't so much as twinged the entire day. "Oh, right," he thinks faintly, hand clasped over the knee that fractures 3 years from now. That hasn't happened yet. Still, that moment of enlightenment isn't enough to break years' worth of habits. Yuyan looks at him concernedly when he chooses to sit instead of stand most of the time, but he never comments on it. Yerim calls him an old man for holding on to the railing whenever they have to go up a flight of stairs. The first time that Eugene goes for an entire day of training, playing with peace, he's genuinely shocked at the end from how good he feels. Tired but bearable. Normal. He gets new injuries and wounds to make up for the ones that were washed away by time, but he never forgets the one that his body doesn't bear anymore. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening. And if you've enjoyed this Podfix, you're welcome to leave me feedback.
I'd love to hear from you. Happy summer PodFix Swap, Anapods. I hope you enjoyed it.